Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe, and if you've ever felt stuck trying to learn jazz piano from a million different sources, this show is definitely for you. Each week, I break things down step by step to help you play with more freedom, more confidence, and a whole lot more swing. Everything I share here ties back to the system that I created and that we use inside the Jazz Piano School membership. So if you're ready for more structure and progress, I'll tell you how to check that out at the end of this episode. And hey, if you're enjoying this kind of real-world guidance, make sure to hit follow or subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe. I'm your host as always. Thank you so much for being here. Now, I've changed the podcast, and we are talking about if you have benchmarks for the tools and skill sets that you're working on in jazz piano, that you're trying to integrate into your jazz piano performance. Do you have benchmarks? Do you have goals, right? Do you know when it's time to move on? Do you know when things are good enough? Because just going down and sitting down at the piano and playing and trying to decide what's good and not, unfortunately, is just, it's not a measurable system, right? It's not a specific measurable system that's going to allow you to track whether or not you're getting better at certain fundamentals and skill sets that you need in jazz piano to really execute and perform like you're trying to. I know you're trying to, right? So if you're working on improvisation, what's your benchmark for learning certain skill sets within improvisation? If you're trying to play solo piano, what's your benchmark for playing solo piano ballads or cocktail style ballads? And not just the tune in general, the performance. I mean the skill sets you need, the methods that you need to make that happen. What are your goals? What are your benchmarks, right? So that's what we're talking about today. And this is not going to be too long of a podcast, nor will the future podcasts be that long. But again, they're going to be about learning lessons and reflections now from an audio standpoint that you can listen to in the car, you can listen to on your walks at the gym, and reflect on these learning lessons that you can take into your jazz piano practice for yourself, right? Into your jazz piano journey, and hopefully really think about them and improve. So the thing about this is there's two things happening. There's a lot of things happening. There's mainly two things happening. A, if you do have skill sets that you're working on, whether that's through Jazz Piano School or other websites, that's great. That's a great first step. Like when you know what to work on. And I don't just mean let me show you how to play this line with these chords. That's not a skill set. Okay. Let's get very clear on that. You know, I'm really trying to empower and enlighten you into the educational process of learning jazz piano. That's what this podcast is going to be about. That's what my philosophies are about. So that if you know, you have more knowledge about the learning system, you can get better because knowledge is power, right? So if you know the steps that you need to take, if you know the things that you're doing that are not making you better versus the things that you should be doing that could make you better, right? Then you can discern and really separate all the mess so that you can be on the right track to making fast improvement. So A, if you're working on skill sets, whether in a membership or somewhere online, that's great. That's a great first step. And like I said, if you're just kind of copying transcriptions, those aren't skill sets. If you're just reading notation of other people playing, those are not skill sets. And no, I don't say that in a judgmental way. I just want you to know, skill sets are where you can take a tool that's shown to you, meaning some sort of chord. You don't need music. You can play it on the piano without music. Like, let's say you wanted to play a rootless voicing or a drop two voicing. You can play a drop two voicing, a drop two minor seven root position voicing through all the minor chords, right? That's a skill set. Let's say your skill set in improvisation is to connect chord tones using chord scales or to implement a bebop approach. And let's say the bebop approach is a chord scale above to a half step below to the root, right? That's a skill set. So let's say you can utilize that bebop approach to all the roots for all chords, and you can use that skill set in your improvisation, right? That's a skill set. When you just copy what someone does because you're reading the music, my friends, that does not allow you to play jazz piano. That's just reading music. That's just like playing classical music because you're just reading the music. Now, think about it. If I went down to sit at the piano and try to play from improvisation or spontaneity, you know, just be spontaneous and create a classical piece on the spot, I couldn't do that because that's what classical music is about. It's about reading music and reading what other people have wrote, right? Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, etc. That's what that is. But in the same vein, that's what I see so many students doing is they rely so much on looking at music, looking at notation, especially in this day and age off YouTube videos and membership websites and things like that, where you're having to look and read the music. But unfortunately, that's not what jazz is. Jazz is so separate. So when you can take a skill set like a tritone sub and you can voice it with rootless voicings in your right hand with maybe a bass note in your left hand, you can do that on the fly, on the piano, and even practice it without music. Let's say you can go through the keys, you can use it in 2-5-1s, you can use it in your performances. When you go sit down to read a lead sheet, you can use the skill set in the lead sheet because you know how to use it, you know how to wield the tool. That, my friends, that is jazz. That's learning jazz. You're not reading music, you're wielding the tool and utilizing the tool that you've practiced without music over a structured lead sheet form, which is kind of like the blueprint, right? So if you are working on tools like that, fantastic. That's what you should be doing. Now, if you're not, that's already an issue in itself. And I'll talk about that later in another podcast. But you're definitely going to want to get on track with working on different types of tools like that, because that will drastically change your goal, your journey, and how fast you get there. B. When you are working on the tools, let's say you do have a tool, right? And you're working on these tools, what's your benchmark? Let's say your tool is an altered scale, right? So if you're working on an altered scale, what's your benchmark to say, you know what, this is solid. I can thoroughly execute my altered scale and use it, right? And I can move on. Now, can it get better? Maybe, maybe not. Right? But where is that line that says, I need to stay here and continue to work on this versus I got this, time for me to move on to something else? Right? Now, with that being said, I'll say this, 9 out of 10 times, students have no idea where that line is. I would say 99 out of 100 times, students do not. I really never knew. And one of the main reasons was that I didn't have clear guidelines. I didn't have clear benchmarks, right? A lot of the times. But there was one time, and it was so great. It helped me so much. And that was when I attended the New School University in New York City for my 4-year jazz piano performance degree. Now, I talked about this in the last podcast. I won't go into the story as much, but the thing that happened was that I had a list of fundamentals. I had a list of tools that they sent me. And I was like, oh my God, hallelujah, look at this. This is like a gold. It listed out like harmony, theory, repertoire, improvisation, voicings, right? Ear training. And I was like, oh my, this is like gold. And I wanted to conquer all those tools. Like I wanted them in my tool bag so I could use them at any point in time because they were giving me essentially a list of fundamentals, of proficiency fundamentals. Now, the thing here was I had to learn those tools so well and demonstrate them when I got to school for someone sitting there listening to me and pass out of proficiency. That was a proficiency test. And so when I did that, this allowed me to study with any teacher I wanted to and also take any classes I wanted to. So this brings me back to, again, what are your benchmarks, right? How do you know, okay? And so at that point in time, I had a person telling me. Now, you don't have that. You don't have a teacher sitting there saying, you passed, right? That would be fun if I could sit there in your living room and be like, yes, you know, XYZ, you passed. So when I was rebuilding Jazz Piano School, and this is happening right now, and specifically goal number 3 for improvisation. I'll talk about improvisation because I brought up the altered scale. Don't worry. I'm not regressing. I'm not going off topic too far. But for improvisation, goal 3 is going to be released on Black Friday. Now, the benchmarks I had to set for all the goals in my Jazz Piano Proficiency course, which is a brand new course that is devoted to the three most coveted goals by jazz piano students. Goal number one, how to play in a band, essentially comping and voicings. Goal number two, solo piano. And goal number three, which is being released on Black Friday, improvisation. I had to create a way for some sort of teacher myself to sit in the room and be like, you know what, John Doe, you passed. So what are the guidelines that you're going to use? Now, you can use my guidelines here. Unfortunately, the tools and skill sets are within the course. So if you want the tools and skill sets, you know, the Black Friday offers is coming up. But the benchmarks are as follows. My tempo scale is very easy, and you can use this, right? So the tempo scale is anytime you're working on a new tune, or excuse me, not a new tune, a new skill set or tool, right? A, when you're practicing, you got to practice the tool outside of tunes. You're working on execution and demonstration of the tool through the keys, through different keys. Now, if you're fed up with learning all the keys, because so many teachers tell you to learn through the keys, the reason we do that is because you'll have more control and flexibility over tunes. Because if you learn in all keys, when you get to the tune, if you see a chord that you're not familiar with, if you see a tune and you'll have worked on all the chord changes within that tune. But if you don't work on all the keys, let's say you only go up to G flat and you want to use a B7 altered scale over a B7 chord because you haven't practiced over the B7 chord in your practice. When you get to a B7 chord in a tune, you can't use the B7 altered scale. And I see this happen so many times over a chord or some sort of chord symbol, students kind of just crash and burn because they haven't practiced that. So it gives you more control. And this is why teachers tell you to practice in all keys, because it just helps you gain more, you know, facility over the piano in all keys. But anyway, practicing 60 is just starting. So you want to practice at 60 BPM for just starting out. Now, here's the give and take. If 60 is too fast for you, meaning you're making more than 2 to 3 mistakes, I would say about 3 tops, okay? You got to slow it down. So take it even slower. Now, if you go even slower and you're still making mistakes, turn the metronome off. Throw it out the window. Just kidding. Don't do that. But just turn it off. And just go very slowly working on your tool, right? So that you're playing your tool, you're learning the notes. That's really what you want to do, right? Now, let's say you learn the notes, you're learning through the keys. And in my iRO Pro playlist, I have so many different types of exercises for all the ways to work through the keys. It's not just boring different ways. There's so many different types of ways, isolation, different patterns, things like that. It's fantastic. And it really prepares you to utilize the tool and work it in tunes. So finally, you know the notes, you can start at 60. Is that feeling good? That's your first benchmark, okay? So if you can do it at 60, that's the just starting benchmark. You should already feel proud about yourself. One gold star, okay? One gold star if you can do it in time at 60 BPM through all the keys, or maybe even just through the jazz keys, right? So C, F, B flat, E flat, A flat, D flat, G. I call those the jazz keys because those are the tunes, those are the keys that the most jazz tunes are in. So that's 7 keys. You only got 5 left, but if you can do it in 7, you're doing a fantastic job. The next benchmark is 90 BPM. 90 BPM. So you're going to take the practice exercises and you're going to work them up to 90 BPM. So 90 BPM is you're getting the hang of it. That's what I call 90 BPM. You're getting the hang of it. Right? So 90 BPM. At 90 BPM, you're getting the hang of it. Things are working really well. Now, you can't just jump up to 90, right? You got to work yourself. So as I was preparing for my test at the new school, I would go from 60 to 90 and I would go in the middle, you know, 74, 78, 80, 82. You got to work up. You can't just make the jump. It's like going brick by brick by brick. You got to go slowly, right? And if you can't do it at 72, drop back down to 68. If you can't do it at 82, 84, drop back down to 76. You got to slowly work it up. It's like going to the gym. It's like building your endurance. You can't just go from completely sedentary, not working out at all, to running a marathon, right? That's just impossible. You can't do that. It's the same with this, with your tools, all right? So once you're at 90, the next benchmark that is very, very important, okay, you earned another gold star. Good job, 2 gold stars. The next benchmark is going to be 120. 120 is solid. Solid. This is the benchmark that you are shooting for. This is the benchmark that I had to shoot for in my practice to demonstrate these tools efficiently and test out of proficiency, right? This is solid. It means the tool is solid. You haven't mastered it yet. It's not even like very swinging yet, but you got it, right? That means technically you can utilize that tool. You can wield the tool in tunes and you can move on. Now, I don't encourage students to always move on there, nor do I say you shouldn't come back to it, because 120 is just solid. 150, what I call, is killing or swinging. Like, it's great. It sounds really good. You're able to really kind of utilize this tool. It's swinging. It sounds great in your tunes. You're able to play it. You can move through the practice exercises easily. It's sounding real good. And finally, 180 is mastery. 180 is mastery. You got it. You've mastered it. You really never need to come back to the tool once you hit 180. All right. So that's it. You're done. I mean, clearly you can. You can keep pushing the envelope with the tempos, but once you get to 180, that's mastery, right? So I didn't need to test out a proficiency at mastery. I just needed to demonstrate proficiency. I needed to be proficient enough to let my teachers know, hey, I got these fundamentals down. They're not mastered yet, but I can continue to refine them and work on them. But I am at a specific level that I can choose my own teacher now, right? And I can choose my own classes, like for fun, right? To work on these fun advanced layers, these fun advanced topics, these fun advanced things that I want to work on. And again, what's happening with students these days with the internet craze and the overwhelm over the past 20 plus years, right? Especially with all the new tools in this day and age, is that no one is getting tested or has any idea about benchmarks, because we go on YouTube and we're already trying to pick our own teacher. We're already trying to pick our own classes. We're picking out the stuff from the YouTube videos, even from membership websites that are library, right? We hear the teacher play something fun, say, hey, learn this funk style, learn this cocktail piano. They're giving you the music of exactly what they're playing, the lick in their right hand, the chords in their left hand, and you play it and you have what I call an ice cream bowl effect. You haven't learned a tool. You have no benchmarks for the tool, but your endorphins and your chemicals in your brain are lighting up like a Christmas tree, because you're creating the sound that the teacher gave to you from the music. And you're doing it, and guess what? That sounds so good to you. And it's so refreshing to hear something good. It makes you feel good, and it's just relieving to sit down at the piano and just create a beautiful sound, isn't it? Right? But then here's what happens. The ice cream's gone. The endorphins shut down, and you're back to just doubt. You don't know how to use this. You can't open up to a tune and play it without music. You really aren't making any progress, but you know that one little thing. But if someone asks you to play a tune or do something, you can't do anything, right? You're essentially still stuck, and you continue to spin your wheels in the mud utilizing this educational system that I see time in and time out from all different types of education. And this happened to me, and it was so infuriating once I learned what was going on. It was like seeing the Matrix, right? So I encourage you, number one, work on tools, gather tools, like different sizes of paintbrushes, different types of tools if you're in the OR, right? That's kind of a weird analogy, but different types of tools to fly an airplane. You got to know your navigation. You got to know all these different things, okay? Paintbrush is a great thing, or being an artist is a great thing, because it's very closely related to jazz. You can't just have one paintbrush that's like a certain size. You need lots of sizes of paintbrushes. You need sponges. You need different types of tools, metal things. All these tools help you craft the beautiful thing you see on a canvas. That should be your goal as well. You need different tool sets in jazz piano to craft what you're trying to do with the structure of lead sheets, like Fly Me to the Moon, Honeysuckle Rose, whatever it is you're trying to play, right? Once you learn these tools and you get them up to the benchmarks that I'm talking about and you practice them, you're going to start to experience ultimate freedom. You're actually going to be playing jazz the way that you always desired, in a very amazing, impressive manner. And you're going to start to impress yourself, okay? So the great thing about this system that, again, I highly encourage you to take is that all of the benchmarks, and the reason I'm rebuilding Jazz Piano School from the ground up is because of this. I've seen it help students make tremendous amounts of progress so fast, shave decades off their learning journey, right? And get to places within 2 to 3 months, 6 months that they never, ever thought they would reach. And all of it is in my new Jazz Proficient Jazz Piano system, including Goal 1, 2, and Goal 3 is being released on Black Friday, right, about improvisation. And it has all the benchmarks, has all the tests, has all the practice exercises. Now, again, you don't necessarily need to get the offer. Doesn't bother me. But if you want to use this system, use it at home, right? Follow these guidelines for yourself to test yourself. If you want to take the next step, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/Black Friday 2025, get on the Black Friday VIP email list, and get access to the release of this course along with so many other goodies, a major, major discount and lifetime access to the new upgrade that we're going to be releasing in 2026 of the Jazz Piano School platform, which already is being tested by our lifetime elite members and getting absolutely amazing feedback. So, hopefully this helped. Maybe I'll talk about tools in the next podcast episode. But with that being said, go try this at home. Try your benchmarks. See what happens. Let me know if this is working for you. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you guys later.